If you're joining us online or you're in the house with us, grab your Bibles. Let's go to Psalms 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Joe, my voice is kind of going out. You might need a tweak. Bring me up a little bit. Will you read these verses with me? Can we do that? They'll put them on the screen for you. We'll read the NLT. And man, what a wonderful sound. What a wonderful sight. I love this. It's one of my favorite parts of service every single week. I bet there's just as many kids as there are adults in this place. Would you agree with that? How awesome is that? It means all of us can die and the church will keep going. That's why let's pray that God just pours into their life today. Pray that they experience Him in a mighty way. I hope your hearts are open today. I know this is a sermon my heart needs. I think a lot of times it's easy in our world to get so bogged down by the weight of everything. Everything seems heavy, doesn't it? News is heavy. What you're going through is heavy. Just to survive a day or to go to Walmart seems heavy, right? There's a lot of things around us. And I think Psalms 100 is a very short chapter of the Bible that is very overlooked. I think it's something we need to practice a little more. And being that it's Thanksgiving, and believe me, I'm not normally one. God normally never leaves me to a themed of holiday message. But today, I felt like he's really doing a work in my life that I want you to pray that he continues to do. Matter of fact, don't pray that God continues. Pray that I obey. Is that better? Because God ain't going to give up on you. So our prayer for you doesn't need to be that God reveals himself. He's trying to. He is. Our prayer needs to be that you open your eyes. Our prayer needs to be that you open your mind, you open your heart. I don't know about you, but it's easy to get stubborn, get caught in our ways. It's easy to let the atmosphere around us influence what's going on within us. And I'm going to tell you this right now. Years ago, we preached a whole sermon on thermostat or thermometer. To where if you're a thermometer, you're affected by the atmosphere, and that's what changes what goes on inside of you. If you're a thermostat, the atmosphere comes in, and you turn on to change what's going on around you. And we need believers today that aren't being influenced or making decisions or making their life goals or giving up on something because of what's going on around them. There should be something great inside of you that comes out to influence the atmosphere instead of the atmosphere being so great that it influences the inside. And I want to tell you this, and I want you to write it down. And I know it seems so simple, but it is very, very true. Nothing is more necessary in your heart for your mental health, your spiritual health, your relational health than praise. Nothing. You say, well, Jesus, yes, absolutely. That's why we have a reason to praise. But gratitude is the most healthy attitude you could take on. As a matter of fact, gratitude goes a long way, not only in your life, right? How do you feel when somebody notices you? You feel really good, right? Matter of fact, some of you come into church today, this might be your first time. My hope is that somebody's noticed you. My prayer is that we're raising a church that notices people and cares beyond the uncomfortability. Is that a word? Let's make it one, all right? Beyond the, I don't know how to speak to others. Listen, you don't have to speak. Just smile and say, it's good to see you and move forward. You don't have to carry on a long dialogue. Just notice somebody. When somebody feels noticed, they automatically elevate in their performance. I mean, when you're recognized, right? Why do we give awards? How many of you have received awards in your adult life that you don't even know where they are? Anybody like that? Certificates or things like that. Why do they give them? Not because they know you're going to keep them, because they need you to know that they want to keep you. All right? They notice you. And so that's where a bonus comes in at work. But I'm going to tell you this, a kind word in your home can go a long way. A kind word towards your children can shape an attitude. A kind word towards your spouse, a kind word of appreciation, of gratitude, can really turn a service on its head. I mean, I'll be honest with you, and thankfully y'all don't do this, but I've heard of pastors who say that every time they get done preaching, they have people that come up to them and critique everything they do. And I'm going to be honest with you now, that pastor is not going to last long. But if somebody were to come up and say, that's the best I've ever heard, or you know what, I'm excited because God's going to use you today, you can turn that person upside down. I mean, you can flip the atmosphere with one simple praise. I don't have time to take you there today, but one of my favorite passages of the Bible you find in Numbers, the Joshua Numbers, I call it a trilogy, Exodus, that Numbers, you got Deuteronomy in there, but Joshua, you see this great change of where they go from slave mindsets to actually captors. It's really good to see you, all right? She has battled her health, and thank God Sue's back with us today. I know that's in the middle of a sermon, but that's awesome. But I want you to understand that as Joshua is about to lead them in, you see some transitions start to take place. Number one, the Bible says they take on a new spiritual identity. They circumcise themselves because they are now being raised up to do what their fathers did not do. Oh man, that we would raise a generation to do what we didn't do. That we would step in and be the generation that does what wasn't done before us. That we would be obedient and open to what God would do. And so I love it. The Bible says they set up camp. I think it's Joshua 5. I'll go back and get it for you. I had no intention of going here, but it's going to get us where we're going. And as they gathered, the Bible says they stayed until they were all healed. Isn't that a beautiful thing? He comes in and God says, circumcise your young men. And he says this promise, I will do through you what I intended to do through your fathers. And the Bible says that after they did that, and by the way, we talked about this months ago, circumcision in the Bible is not talking about that physical act like we experience today when a child is born. It's an identity factor. Remember, to be clean as a Jew, you were to be circumcised. Today, that is not the gauge of which God says you're Jew or Gentile. The gauge of what calls you God's or not his, part of his family or not, is Jesus. He creates a spiritual circumcision. Here's what it is. He comes in, he cuts away the old, the nasty, that old nature, the old man, and it dies and new begins, all right? And so they identify themselves. That's what they do. And then they set up camp there. It's one of my favorite recovery chapters. And then as they set up camp there, they wait and help each other heal. That's what the church should be. And then after they did that, the Bible says that they were going to cross the Jordan. They're about to go in. So you know what God does? The manna stops because now they're healthy. Hey, listen to me. I want to tell you this. God is going to bless you through seasons of drought. Please write it in your notes. God is going to bless you through seasons of drought. Anybody else in here got the check you didn't know it was coming? Anybody else say amen to that? Some of you didn't, but anybody else got groceries that you didn't pay for? Hopefully because you didn't steal them, but somebody gave them to you, right? Anybody else in here received some of the mercy and grace of God in a physical, visible way to where God stepped into your life in a way that you didn't expect and God did what you did not know could be done? Anybody in here? If you do, then why don't you just shout and give God a praise right here and say, yeah, I'm one. All right. But when the manna stops, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Because while God will bless you through the hard times, he will equip you for the battles ahead. And the Bible says that the manna stopped because they could plant their own crops. It's a good day when God says, you're healthy now. You can stand. You can minister. Hey, some of you are young in your faith, and you're sitting there just trying to grasp anything to believe in, and you're thinking that you're a failure because you don't know what all to believe, or you're thinking you're a failure because your belief isn't good enough or great enough. And you hear people say damning statements that should not be said of, if you have great faith, then everybody would be healed, or if you had this and that, and you're not getting healing because you don't have faith. No, you're not getting healing maybe because you're not God. God's in control of that today. And I put my hope and I put my faith in him. Sometimes the journeys are different for people. I mean, John the Baptist writes a letter to Jesus, sends his apostles, sends his disciples, and says, what about me? I'm in jail. They're calling for my head. And Jesus' response is not what John wanted. Here's how mad John is, right? This is the messenger bringing Jesus in. He's introducing the Messiah. Now he's in jail and he's about to lose his head. And he writes a statement and says, is it really you or is there somebody else? You know what he's saying? I don't like my life right now. Should we believe in you? You ever been there? Oh, come on now. You've been the Christian that's prayed. God, are you even there? I mean, have I wasted my life? Have I wasted my faith? Am I wasting my prayers? Am I wasting my... And Jesus' response is not, hey, John, I'm coming. His response is, hey, blessed are those who do not forsake me, who do not turn away in times of difficulty. You know what he's saying? John, you're going to die. You're going to die. You know what he's saying? You're healthy enough to go home. You finished your work. I know that there's times that God, hey, he gives the seed, but there's always times in our lives that God lets us plant the seed, knowing that our faith will watch it grow and God can do things. Matter of fact, we've said it before, say it with me. If you have a need, plant a seed. Stop complaining about it and do something. Matter of fact, I'm going to say this, and visitors, please don't take this offensively. If you feel out of place today, then stop sitting in the same place and get out of your seat and meet somebody. Because the people around you, even though they may be here and have been here before, matter of fact, you don't even know who's been here and who hasn't. You might be sitting in a group with 25 visitors today thinking, well, this church doesn't talk to anybody, and they're sitting there thinking the same thing about you. The truth is this, if you want something in your life, a person that has friends must show themselves friendly. So here they are, they're about to walk in, and God is saying, hey, we're going to do something new. And you know what the Bible says? I love this passage. Word went out through the land. Word spread through Canaan about what God is doing. And can I tell you this? The word that was spreading was 40 years old. Oh, this is good. The word that was spreading was not something current that had happened in their life. It was about what God had done at the Red Sea. Because when God is made famous in somebody's life, the enemy remembers the things that God can do, while people will always forget you and me. They'll never forget the things that God did through us. They'll never forget the things that they saw. And a praise went out through Canaan that these are the people that God brought through on dry land. And the Bible said, fear hit them all. Matter of fact, if you read the story, some nation killed themselves. They warred against each other. They were so terrified of these people. Why? A praise went out. A word went out. When they're walking around Jericho, what did God ask them to do? Shout, sing, worship. Worship. Let's put it in one word. He said, here it is. Let's walk around this building. Let's do this for several days. Let's not speak. Like the ark go and the trumpets go and not speak. On the seventh day, when we get around there, we get to the end, blast the horns and let out a shout. And when they did this, what happened? Okay, y'all know the story, right? If you don't know the story, the walls fell. All right, now understand this and get this. You know what God was teaching them? Don't focus on the walls. Focus on me. When Joshua stood in front of the children of Israel, he says, hear me. Here is a word from the Lord. I'm going to tell you this now. When the Lord shows up and tells you to take a walk and a hike around a walled city, instead of getting your swords out, you might second guess that. Would anybody else say, yeah, that'd be a little crazy for me. Matter of fact, being underneath a wall where they could pour out oil and dump their arrows down and just rain it on me would be a terrifying thing to do. And Jericho is one of the strongest strongholds in the land. And God's saying, hey, here's how we're going to defeat the best, with a focus on me. Conviction in my own heart. So let me say it to you. I believe in my life, a lot of times I see the walls more than I see the God that can conquer the wall. A lot of times I hear the enemy more than I hear the voice of God just saying, focus. And I get exhausted, and maybe you do too, because I try to figure out how to fight every battle instead of trusting the one who has already won the war. I try to figure out how to conquer every area of my life that's a deficiency and to provide for every area of my life where there is a need, instead of trusting the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? Instead of trusting the one that in his breath is all of creation. Think about that. I mean, you ever been around the person that's got bad breath? God doesn't have bad breath. God's got creation, universes, billions of galaxies in his breath, in his word. And yet all of a sudden I start trusting everything else but his word. I'm going to tell you this right now. God wants you to bring a heart that's focused to him, and a heart that's focused on him will echo the praise of him. And it's the praise of him that drives out the enemy, not the fame of you, not the power of you. How many of you have had the days where you felt like you could conquer anything? Slip your hands up in the air. All right, now, raise the hand of defeat too. How many of you have had the days? All right, now do this for me. Put both hands in the air, and we'll let your right hand, hopefully you know which one that is, okay? I'll model it. It's this one. All right. I'll actually do it this way. Let the right hand represent the days that you felt you could conquer anything, and the left hand represent the days that you felt like you were going to lose it all. And do a balance, right? Which one is more? Anybody else like me? Yeah. Yet we come in verse in church, and I do this too, and we quote Philippians 4:13. I can do what? All things. Say it, come on. Through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, yay. Let's tattoo that. Let's preach that. Let's put that out there. I mean, that's what we do. We write it on everything, and we quote it, and we quote it, and we quote it, and we quote it until the giant shows up. And when the giant shows up, we show up with all of our God. I think you messed up here. I think you called the wrong one. I think it needs to be somebody else. Hey, by the way, stop thinking that somebody else could do what God's called you to do better than you. Because God called you maybe knowing that you couldn't do it as well as somebody else because he wanted to show himself and not the other person. Maybe God equips the weak. Maybe God calls the broken. Maybe God heals the hurting because he wants to raise somebody up who will stay loyal to him rather than to take the person who thinks that they can do it on their own. And you say, I feel ashamed today. You're qualified. You say, I feel broken today. You're qualified. You say, I can't today. You're qualified because there's a God that doesn't want somebody who thinks they can do it all. That doesn't want somebody who gets it all right. There's a God who wants somebody who's going to trust him, and he's going to exalt the one who doesn't exalt themselves. And we're not saying live in pity and live in shame. No, we're saying, hey, surrender it today and trust in the Lord. Read this with me. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord. If you read the King James version of that verse, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter in his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise and give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord, say it with me, is what today, church? He's good. His unfailing love continues how long, church? Forever. And his faithfulness continues to where? Each generation, all generations. Hey, I'm going to tell you this now. The God of Abraham is the God of you. The God of Noah is the God of you. The God of Jesus, who raised him from the dead, is the God of you. His faithfulness has been the same for every generation. Let's go dissect this. And if we were to give this message a title today, we would put it Signs of a Thankful Heart. How do we know that we have a thankful heart? I think this passage kind of breaks it down with us. Ready? Number one, you have a worshiping heart. Now, I'm going to say this. A worshiping heart's not a singing heart. Follow me. Praise is the proclamation of worship. I think we get that messed up sometimes, don't we? That's why we call it praise and worship, not praise slash worship. Because praise is an amplification of who God is and what God's done. Where worship is a focus of a heart. So you can praise God without ever worshiping him. And that's why many will stand in front of him and say, Lord, Lord, I even testified in your name, and here, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you can talk about God and you can tell about God and never have a heart of worship. Right? Are you with me? Some of you think, well, I wish I could worship God better. Worship is not what you put out. Worship's what you put in. Worship's not what everybody else sees. Worship is what becomes the foundation or the roots of which you build your life. A thankful heart comes from a worshiping heart. And if we don't worship God, matter of fact, let's gauge it. The weeks that you spend in the Word of God, seeking God, listening to good podcasts, and surrounded by good music, don't you feel a little bit closer to God than the weeks you totally abandon? All right, you know why? Your worship was different. If you're going through a valley of a shadow of death, worship God today. I will fear no evil. Why? You're with me. That's a worship. That's a center. That's a focus. I think a lot of times we come in and we think, and by the way, they do a great job singing, great job playing. They blow my mind with their talent, and new ones are stepping up and rising up. We want to develop them. DJ and I were talking about that this morning. How do we develop talent and ability? I'll say this right now. You can have all the talent and ability in the world and still never worship God. You know, I think a lot of church services are gauged on the music. People leave thinking, Oh, we had good worship today because somebody threw their hands up in the air. We danced around, which is great. I love seeing people dance. Matter of fact, can I tell you this? When I am truly worshiping, I don't see you at all. My eyes stay closed, which is 101 on what you don't do in performing. When we were in stage training in high school, you keep your eyes open, you smile, and you make eye contact with the people you're singing to. And so you know what? I think that's true. That's what we should do in church. Let's make eye contact with the person we're singing to, and that ain't you. Let's get to God. Because the honest truth is, if I start focusing on you, I lose the heartbeat of worship. You know, sometimes you stand up here and it looks like people are at a funeral. You know what? In my mind, I think, man, they're mad. But what about if in that heart they're convicted? What about in that heart if they're wounded or tired? Man looks on the outward appearance, but God sees the... All right, hey, put this in your notes. God wants to meet you in your heart way before he wants to meet you in your church. And God wants to meet you in your heart way before he wants to meet you out and about in ministry. God wants to meet you right in a personal walk, in a personal development. And God, he has a worship mind towards you. Now, can I say this? If we are required and called by God to worship him, we have to understand. There's a part of God that worships towards us. I mean, you can't read the scriptures without finding that you are the heartbeat of God. You are the focus of God. He never grows weary. Matter of fact, if we were in heaven and we were standing around the throne of God and God were to raise and sing a song, he'd sing towards us. That's how much he loves us. Now, don't misuse that. Somebody will try to say out there, oh, he's saying God worships us. No, I am saying this. God does adore you, and God does keep you close. And if you were to ask God what's the most important thing in the world today, it would be you. It would be you. It would be you. And it would be every single one of us, all the way down to the little boys and the little girls, every single one of us that are old and getting older, every single one of us that are teenagers. God loves us. He's in the bathroom with the bulimic. He's in the room with the cutter. He's in the dope house with the drug addict. He's in the jail with the prisoner. He's in the hospital with the wounded and the hurting and the sick. He's in the church today with a believer or with a lost person that doesn't know him yet. God's presence is everywhere. Why? He wants you to know him. Because he definitely knows you. There is nobody in the world you'll ever meet that is obsessed with you like God. Nobody that has you on the mind as much as God does. That draws me to a worshiping heart. Because I know how evil my heart can be. Anybody say me too to that? And how could you, a God so holy, love me, the polar opposite? Let's say it. I know it's a cliche verse. It's the most quoted verse in the world. John 3:16. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I told this story years ago, maybe 10 years ago. A little girl walked into the printing presses, the mobile printing presses that were first produced way back when they were making the Bible in the English language. Wycliffe and Martin Luther and others that lost their lives were murdered for bringing the Bible into our language. And so they actually created the mobile printing press to print the Bible, just so you know. The press was created for the Bible. It's really weird it's not that way today, but that's the way it was. A little girl, true story, stumbled in to one of the rooms that they had quickly vacated, ripping everything out to save their own lives and to continue their ministry. Stumbling upon a piece of paper, she took it, she crumbled it, put it into her pocket. Her mom noticed a definite change in this little girl's life and one day asked her, "What has happened to you?" To which the little girl pulled out a piece of paper that only had these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave." And that's all it said. The mom looked at her and said, "Honey, what did he give?" And she looked and said, "Mom, does it matter? If God would give anything for me, then he's worthy of me. And I thought to myself, how many of us would say, God, I'll love you more if my bank account was bigger. Or God, I love you more if my relationships were healed. But you don't need to love God based on what God has done or is doing in your life. You need to base God on your love for God on one thing, his love for you. And the Bible says you can't measure it. It's too high. It's too wide. It's too deep. It's too long. It's too much. It's too everywhere. If you dove into the ocean of God's grace, you'd never see the bottom. You'd never find the shore. You would be lost. We actually have that in an old song. In Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. There's other verses that talk about in different hymns that we have sang, if we with ink the ocean fill, right? And we take this quill and we were to write about God's love, we'd never be able to get enough. We'd never be able to write enough to contain the love that God has for us. Hey, listen, your whole mood can change in a moment with a worshiping heart. Matter of fact, every mood you have is a symbol of what you're worshiping in that moment. It's real. When you're mad, you're worshiping something. You say, well, I'm not an idol worshiper. Idols aren't this little speaker here that I'm going to get on my knees and bow down to. Sometimes it's thoughts, it's feelings, it's emotions. You know, idols are easy to form in our lives. You can have 1,000 different idols in one day. The mood of which you're living through today, right now, in this moment, represents the God of which you worship. That's hard, isn't it? But how healing, because you can change what you worship in a moment. If I worship my wife or I worship my kids, when my kids misbehave, what happens to my worship? Yeah. If I worship my job, when it slows down, what happens to my worship? Worship turns into panic and worry and fear and all this. And it's not that I'm Satan worshiping. I'm just worshiping something rather than the one. So a worshiping heart is, number one, a sign of a thankful heart. Number two, and this is going to be hard for most, a giving heart. I'll be real with you. I have no problem giving to people that I love. Anybody else in here say me too? I enjoyed 180 Friday night, hanging out at the Boys and Girls Club with about 15, 20 of y'all, giving the food out to those kids and just hanging out with those workers. I mean, it was amazing to see the joy that was in their heart and learning how very famous Hawaiian rolls are, you know? And I mean, I enjoy that. This one little boy, right towards the end, about 30 minutes before we close, I'm standing there by... They would only let me do the gravy because I messed up the cranberry serving. They gave me the gravy and they gave me the rolls, only to find out that not many people wanted gravy. So, you know, it's kind of like, you want to play? Okay, you know, here's a disc gun. We're going hunting. We're not going to give you ammo. All right, that's literally what happened. So I'm standing here all of a sudden. I saw this little boy just come up and he just hugged me. And then I watched him as he went down and he hugged every single person that had served him that day. Never said a word. And my heart was just like so full. Because it meant something to him. Even if it meant something to nobody else, it meant something to him. To see families sit together and have Thanksgiving dinner, that was good. That was wonderful. I don't know their home life. I don't know if they're going to get to get together Thursday, but they got to get together Friday. I'm thankful for Rich and Lisa and their heartbeat. I'm thankful for everybody else that showed up and poured out. But I'm saying this right now. If you have a thankful heart, you will love giving. It is easy to give to somebody you loved. All right, agreed? How many of you say, yes, amen, I agree? Then why don't we give to God? I mean, I set you up. That was mean, right? Like, that was very cruel, but it's true. I'm going to say this from the bottom of my heart. My wife, it's one of the things I love the most about her, too. We love to give. We truly love to give. Any shape, form, or fashion, any way, we love to give. I will say this, and this is one of the things I've always loved about Grace Community Church. We could have a paved parking lot and probably a gym right now if you weren't a giving church. It's because you're giving that you got gravel in your parking lot. Celebrate that. It's because you're giving, we spray paint. Wade spray paints our parking spaces on. He's got some really orange shoes, by the way. He could probably patent them for UT. But he spray paints the parking lot. Why? Because you thought a church in the Philippines was more important than us. I don't want to be a part of a church that's not a giving church, because a church that's not a giving church is a church that doesn't truly love God. And I'm not saying everybody has to give. The Bible does encourage everybody to give based on your means, all right? If you have a little, give a little. If you have a lot, give a lot. I will say this, there's probably 5% of our church carries the rest. And you know what? That doesn't make me mad at the 95, and I don't even know who the 5% or the 95% are, because I don't ever want to know who gives other than what I'm doing with the Lord. It doesn't matter, right? But the truth is isn't it amazing what can be done through the very little that we have to give? We're not a wealthy church. Never have been. But we've never gone broke either. Why? Because God faithfully rewards a giving heart. If you love God, you're easy to give. If you have resentment towards God or you have another God in your life, it's harder to give. But I'll be honest with you and straightforward from Scripture. God loves you so much that He will give you anything. Now, I'm not saying you should give to get from God, but I am saying it's a promise of God. You might not get it back the way you gave it, but you're going to get it back somehow. And if you don't get it back on this earth, you're going to get it back where it matters, and that's in heaven. And the truth is that there'll be little boys and girls that'll stand around the throne of God that you never met, that spoke a different language from you because you gave. There'll be people that walk streets of gold that did not even know that the gospel was real because you gave. But none of us would be there if God hadn't given first. And God never asked us to do something that He hasn't done. But a thankful heart will say, I will give, I will give. Now, how many of you would say, I have seen God do great things through giving? Would your hand testify to that? Amen. Now, to make it a lighter blow, I know we talk about finances and nobody likes to talk about finances. They think the church is in trouble when you talk about finances. But if we were to gauge the past year and how much money's in the bank, we got more money in the bank right now than we've had in months. Am I right, Dennis? I mean, there for a minute, we thought Dennis was going to have hemorrhoid surgery from the way the finances were going. All right? Like, it was tough. All right? That was a little too much. But it was there. Oh, that was... See, now you're laughing. It's a joyful heart. That's a thankful heart, right? The truth is this, I don't care where you give or how you give, just give. Give to 180, give to Mobile Lifehouse. I mean, give to the Avenue, give to other churches. I mean, I always say this, we're gonna stay a giving church, so I know God's gonna sustain this church, so give wherever God tells you to give. But give. You say, well, you know, churches only talk about it when they need money. I don't need your money. Right? I don't need your money. We don't need your money to survive. I'm going to tell you this right now. We don't even need the electricity. We got fancy lights and all this stuff, heat and air that we don't need. We can worship God in a field. We can worship God with nothing. I have come from nothing in the refrigerator to now going home with options. Why? Because God is gracious and God is good and God is faithful. Isn't that the last verse? His faithfulness continues to every generation. There's promises of God's provision in your life. There's promises of God being there today. He's going to provide. He's going to make a way. Just obey. Just trust and believe and know that He will come through. If He can make mountains move and walls fall and waters part, if He can make boats float in the middle of deserts, then God can get you through any financial storm you face. Trust Him. By the way, I will say this. This is my personal opinion, and I'm just putting it out there. You will get tested in your faith many different ways, but most things will not test you as much as being faithful and trusting God with your money. Because I'm going to tell you, Satan's not going to sit back and say, oh, you decided to give today, now it's going to get easy. No, it's coming. But that's why you should have community, right? We should love each other enough to say, I want to make sure every family that we can come in contact with is able to sit down at Thanksgiving and have a dinner. And I'm thankful that we're in a church that'll do that. You know, I don't normally call people out, but we have a lady that comes in from Ohio that visits us a few weeks or months out of the year that as soon as she heard about Thanksgiving, turned around, you know, took a step of faith. I think we paid $800 for turkeys this year, and she gives us a $500 gift, says, will this help? And I'm going to tell you this now. It's going to go beyond, because now we're talking about what we can do for Christmas. Now we're talking about what we can do for the next. There's a tree back there full of names of kids that will get nothing this year unless you take that name and go shopping. There's families in this place that aren't even telling us that they have needs. Are you with me? Hey, I can tell you I love you all day long, but if I don't give anything of my time, my effort, myself, my resources to you, then don't trust that love. Don't trust that. Are you with me? A giving heart's a thankful heart. I have been blessed. You know, I don't even care to tell you, like, we went from a year of not knowing how we were going to survive, thinking we were going to wind up homeless, to having the best financial year we've ever had in our life. Ever. And when we stood and confessed and all that income was lost, I thought, you know, I had sunk the ship. Matter of fact, people had called me and told me, your wife will leave you when y'all financially start having problems. Well, God plans on her staying because we've never had financial problems. He's always provided. We have given more this year than we've ever been able to give before. And my heart is full, and I'm just hoping that God continues to bless so that we can continue to bless others. It is a great joy to be able to give. But a giving heart finds a peace. Doesn't the Bible even say it's more blessed to give than to receive? Doesn't the Bible say that the Lord loves a cheerful giver? Amen. So a worshiping heart, a giving heart. Let's look at this. Another way to know that you're a thankful heart is if you're an encouraging heart. Now, praise and encouragement are different, right? Praise often comes after product. Somebody does something, you praise them. Someone who's smart will praise people in advance, right? Because it produces product. Heather's a beautician. I'm sure she sat there before and had people come in head full of lice and wondering, you know, this is probably the worst set of hair that I've ever done. Hopefully none of you go to her. If you do, she's never told me any of this. I'm imagining, all right? So Heather's sitting there doing this beautician. I guarantee you, she probably doesn't sit there doing somebody's hair saying, you got the worst hair I've ever seen. Do you think she's going to get repeat business that way? No, no, no. Well, normally it's stuff like, hey, what do you want done today? This is, you're beautiful. We're gonna style you up, make you better. I remember 2 years ago before we went to the men's conference, I had a beard that was down to here. Going to a Southern Baptist church, I knew that needed to change. And so we took it and shaved it off, all right? And I called her in a panic and I said, we leave at 7 a.m. in the morning or something like that. And I'm like, my hair does not match my beard. I mean, I went from a chia pet to like bald. She worked me in. She did it. You know what that does? Like somebody coming in, encouraging, telling stories, different things like that, sticks with you. Where would David have been in his walk with the Lord without Jonathan? When Saul was chasing him, Jonathan's own dad, David was able to stand strong. Why? He had somebody that was like a brother. I'm going to tell you this now. Look around you. Make eye contact with the people you came with today. They're going to let you down. The last thing they need to hear is how much they let you down. The thing they need to hear the most is what you see in them. Aren't you glad that God loves us based on our potential, not based on our production? Because he first loved us while we were sinners, right? So God saw that we were falling short and loved us there. He saw what we could be had we accepted the life that God had offered for us, sent his son, and loved us there. We're in a society that only wants to love people once they have a benefit from people, and that does not work. That is why our society is so hateful. You've got to see what somebody can be and encourage that out of them. An encouraging heart comes from a thankful heart. Matter of fact, it's like this. Don't ever forget where God brought you from. Because you're going to meet people that's back there. And if you've become too spiritual to recognize that you're where you are because of the grace of God, you'll forget that they deserve mercy and grace too. Matter of fact, one of the verses in Exodus that we've been studying, it comes up twice in our Bible study, Exodus 21, and I think again in Exodus 23, he says, hey, don't look down on foreigners and don't treat them bad because you once were a foreigner yourself in the land of Egypt. He's saying, hey, don't treat people different. Don't forget where you came from. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're the best person in here that can say that I've lived without sin in my life, there's still a sin in your life that made you not able to stand in the presence of God. It made you unholy. But through God's mercy and grace, he brought you back. Aren't you glad that most of the Bible is more about what you can be than what you have been? Most of the Bible is written to tell you the hope that you could have through Jesus rather than the condemnation that you should have because of who you are. Aren't you glad from beginning to end, God is still clothing, God is still removing from places that will keep you damaged, God is still helping people rise up and become what he created them to be? Aren't you thankful today that God does not have a history book on you because all the things that you did that you are ashamed of, he forgave, he forgot, and he's moved on and he wants to move you on to. God is an encouraging God. That we who were dead in our trespasses and sins have been raised to a new life. I mean, if God were to stand here today and look at the worst sinner in the room, he would preach a message of hope and preach a message of love, calling you to the best days of your life instead of reminding you of the worst. Be an encourager today. And somebody who's thankful for what God's done in their life will have no problem encouraging others to believe that God can do something in their life. You got time for two more? Let's hit this one quick. A sign of a thankful heart is a heart that is able to praise. Let's go back. We said it. Remember, encouragement and praise are different. Encouragement shows up when the praise isn't able to be there. But the praise needs to be there to say, I'm thankful for what you have done. I'm going to say this right now. God has done way more for me in my life in a minute than I could do for him with the rest of my life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What's the next three words? Immediately. In a minute, God does more for us, an eternal work, than we could do for the rest of our lives for him. He's worthy of praise today, even if you're having a bad day. He's worthy of praise today, even if you're hurting, even if you've lost a loved one. I know that this world has pain in it. But be of good cheer. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What did Jesus say? The world hated me too, but we're overcomers. You're more than a conqueror today. You're not just going to beat this, you're going to own it. Isn't that awesome? You're not just going to take down Jericho, you're going to take it out. I mean, you're not just going to see walls fall. You're going to see a nation of enemy fall right before you. You're going to see Philistines run for their lives. You're going to see things change. What the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. This isn't the end of you. You've got reason to praise today. And I'll tell you this now. There's one thing Satan hates, and it's the praise of God. You say, how do you know it? Here it is. Ready? It's the reason he's not in heaven anymore. Because he got so sick and tired of God getting the glory that he tried to take it for himself. And he raised a third of the angels to rebel against God because Satan desired one thing, praise. Praise. So Satan's going to stay around you when you're singing his praise music. That's the woe is me's. That's the, oh, I don't know if I want to live anymore. That's the, I don't know why God would do this. Why would a God of love let this person die? Are you with me? The whys of life can turn into the praise of the enemy. The worries of life are the worships of the enemy. The panic in life is the praise music of the enemy. And let's just put it this way. Who do you want hanging around your life when it comes to your spiritual being? The enemy, which all the demons of hell, Satan himself, or God? Now, God will never leave you or forsake you, but when there's an absence of praise, you forget his presence. But the consistency of praise keeps the presence of God in the focus of your mind, and it drives out the enemy. Keep praising the enemy, he'll keep showing up. But you keep praising God and the enemy will leave, even if he's accusing you and God says, have you considered my servant Job? He'll look at God and say, I can't touch him. You've got a hedge around him. Hey, no, Job had a praise within him. And he kept God, the worship of his heart, and it became the praise of his lips. Now, did Job panic for 32 chapters? Yes. But did God remind him of his presence and Job surrender back to it? Yes, we need some praise. We need praise. Matter of fact, let's do something real quick. If you're at home, get your phone out. You can put it in the chat. But I want you to make it a little more personal than that, right? For a minute in the church, how many of you came with somebody today? Raise your hand. Can I see that? How many of you came with somebody? Hold your hand high. I'm looking around. How many of you came with somebody today? Okay. 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 All right. Okay. For a minute, can we pause? Can we time out? I got one more point. It's only 11:20. Oh, thank you. Evelyn, they'll hate you as much as they hate me. She said, take as long as you want. All right. Evelyn's fault. Ready here. Time out. Ready? Look at the person you came with, somebody that you came with, or somebody that you're sitting near, and tell them one praise that you have about them. One thing that you're thankful for, one thing good that you see in them. Go, let's do it. If you're at home, text it to them. Have you done it? I see a few smiles popping on people's faces. Some frowns. I'm wondering what some of you said. Hannah, where are you at, Hannah? Hannah, go say a praise to your mom. She's sitting by herself. Go get up there and praise your mama. All the way up there. Yeah, I know. It's so bad. All 30 steps. There we go. Listen, I'm going to say this. You want to change your relationship with God, start praising him. You want to change your relationship with the enemy, start praising God. You want to change your relationship with your friends, your coworkers, your boss, start praising. Start praising. Praise is rare. There's a war against it. The enemy doesn't want it. But the Bible tells us, he says, come before him with singing and joy. Worship him with gladness. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Hey, look at this. It says this. My wife just sent me a praise message that I'm not saying to you. It literally just popped up on my iPad. Shame on you. All right, here it is. I was not expecting that. Oh, I had to say something because if I just stood up here and laughed, y'all think I'm crazy. All right. Anyway. Look at verse number, verse number three. He said, what's it saying? She just sent me the emoji. So that's happening. All right, here it is. Look at verse number three. I'm into verse number three. You get your minds there too. Ready? Acknowledge that the Lord is God. Here it is. You want your whole life to change? You're just a sheep in his field. Isn't that a good verse? We are sheep of his pasture. Everything you have in your life belongs to him. Everything you see in your life belongs to him. It ain't the house you bought. It's the house God gave you through the abilities he gave you to be able to earn the money to purchase it. It ain't the car you bought. It's the wisdom God gave somebody to create a car and then gave somebody else the wisdom to start a business that would fund your need to have a car. I mean, think about this today. You're just a sheep in his field. Oh man, if you realize you're a sheep in his field, then maybe you stop trying to shepherd the field and you let the good shepherd lead. And you can say like David, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I've got everything I want. Isn't that good? Isn't that, acknowledge it. That's what the Bible says. Hey, get to a place in your life. That's where praise comes from. Where we realize, I like Louis Giglio. I'm going to give it to you again. Ready? You need to stop inviting God into your story and get to the realization that God wrote you into his. Oh, what a statement. What power. Hey, God brought you into his kingdom. You don't have to build it. He's the builder. We're going to a heaven who God laid the foundations of it, who God is the sun and the light and all that we need. Who you're going to live in a home in heaven that Jesus created. Oh, I'm glad to be a sheep, aren't you? I'm glad that God didn't put me on this earth and say, figure it out. I'm glad that God put me on this earth and said, follow me. My sheep hear my voice and they know me and they follow me, right? They answer, they come to me, John 10. Hey, here it is. Today, maybe there's not a praise in your life because you've got control and you're trying to get power of your life when in all actuality, you've never had control or power of it in the first place. And the more you try to take control of it, the more you're going to squeeze the life out of it. And the best thing you could do is let go of it and let God and just obey. And watch God do the things that you didn't even dream could be done. I will keep in perfect peace all whose minds are fixed on thee. This is a good word this morning, isn't it? Lastly, we could keep going, but lastly, you know another sign of a thankful heart? A serving heart. A heart of service. Serve the Lord with gladness. I want you to put this in your notes. It's not from a physician or a study. It's just from faith. It's just from faith. One of the greatest medicines you can take for a broken heart is service. One of the greatest medicines you can take for anxiety is service. One of the most healing things that can take place into your life, when you feel alone, serve. When you feel used, serve. When you feel broken and abandoned, when you feel like you don't matter, serve. When you feel invisible, serve. When you feel like all the shame and regret of your past is too much, serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. And I promise you this, when you serve the Lord, just being thankful that you still have the ability to serve the Lord, God's going to do things through that service in your life that will blow your mind. Serve. Matter of fact, to the addict here, the greatest way to recover is to replace the selfishness of your life with the service of others. Addiction and all sin and all arguments, by the way, start with me and a focus on me. You say, I try to stay clean. The best way to stay clean is serve. Get and celebrate recovery. And don't only come to celebrate recovery hoping it helps you. Sometimes just come to celebrate recovery to help others. Maybe tonight, you know, if you can get here a little early, whatever time, and help set up tables, that's how you get to meet people. I will be honest with you. In the event, I rarely have time to meet others. I get close to the people that help set up the events. There's something about service that brings us together. That's how the Acts 2 church became so successful, is they serve together, and that's where we get to know each other. I laugh more in this place and with my family than I laugh anywhere else in the world. I have more fun with you than I have out in the world. Why? Because when you're serving others, when you're focused on others, your problems don't take center stage. We always say it this way, and this is not a healer, by the way. Somebody else has it worse than me. That's not the best statement. That's not going to recover or restore you. Matter of fact, that's going to defer the healing you need in your life. Don't say, well, I can be happy today because somebody else has it worse. That's the worst attitude to take. I can be happy today because I have a God that's with me in my circumstance. And you know what? If it hurts you, it hurts you, and that matters. If you feel the way you feel, your feelings matter, but they shouldn't be all that matter. Are you following this? So we get here and we get to these places and man, I don't know what to do. Matter of fact, the Bible says, if you used to steal, work hard with your hands. Wade has that written on his saw. I know that because the saw's been in my garage for like 3 months. That verse is written on his table saw. If you used to still work hard with your hands and give generously, you know what God is saying? Replace it with something healthy. You will not feel lonely long giving, serving, praising, encouraging, being thankful, being grateful, and lifting up God, worshiping him. You will not feel broken long when your focus comes to who truly matters. I'll say this. He cannot truly matter if they don't matter too. Whatever you did to the least of these, Jesus said, it's as if you did it to me. We've said it before. You want to see your marriage change? Praise him. You want to see your marriage radically shape? Serve with gladness. We're not saying you got to be a slave. We're living in a world that when you start talking about serving, this is my life, my body, all this. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is you want to see a radical change in the areas of your life that are lacking? Serve the people. Here it is. And when you don't want to, be even more intentional about doing it. Because that's when God's about to do something good. I mean, that's when God's about to do something great. I have found this to be true in my life. Maybe you can testify to it in your life. It's when God tells me to and I don't want to the most that God's about to do something bigger than me. He's about to do something bigger than I could do. When I've gone to church when I wanted to stay home, it's been a blessing. When I stepped into the areas that I didn't want to, when I had the conversation with people that I was scared to talk to, it was amazing. My grandfather's funeral, while it broke my heart that he died, it was amazing to sit with my family again. And for the first time in a couple years, Thursday, I'll be sitting with my dad and my mom and my brothers, my sisters at their house, sister-in-law's sisters. And while that scares me, I have a little more joy in my heart. Why? Because that day that I didn't want to go, God said go. And that little bit of faith makes you realize that the reality that you had in your mind wasn't a reality at all. It was a fantasy. It was a fiction that you made up that the enemy was trying to use to keep you from the reality of God. And God is not going to spend the rest of your life separating you from others. God's going to restore others through you and restore you to others. But I'm going to tell you this, service is the antidote of how to get there. Serving. I'll close with this story. I don't know if he's here today. I was looking for Brenton. It's hard for me to see. Brenton's probably listening online. If he's not here. A couple Wednesday nights ago, one of our teenagers, after I got done with our Bible study on Wednesday, came up to me and he said, these verses go great with what you're teaching. You know, that's really encouraging when a teenager is not in the chapter you're in, but in another chapter saying, hey, here's the parallel of God. And he says, they really need to hear this. And so either I can take it and teach it or he can. And you look at him and you say, God gave you the message. Preach it. So Wednesday, and he doesn't know that I did this, I sat and I recorded a 10-minute sermon from a teenager to teenagers. And my heart exploded. It's not even my son. I'm proud of him. When our teenagers get up here and sing, we're proud of them. That ain't easy. But I can serve a younger generation so much. I lose my cool points because I don't even know what bougie means. Right? Matter of fact, I think that's the first time in my life that I've said it right. You know? I don't have the social media. I can serve them so much. But a teenager can serve a teenager limitlessly. I can serve you so much as your pastor. I'm limited as a pastor. As soon as the service is over, there's some of you that I haven't got to see in a while that I'd love to hug and love to spend some time with and all that, but you know how it goes. I'll get talking, I'll get distracted, you know, a bird will fly over and I'll lose attention and half of you will escape before I get to, I can only serve so much, but a church can serve limitlessly. Are you with me? I promise you the world would radically change today. if we had thankful hearts, willing to serve, willing to care for others. So can we close our eyes and can we maybe pray as David prayed in the scriptures? Create in me a clean heart, O God. Yeah. And see, dirty doesn't mean that you're in sin. Dirty can mean that maybe you're just overloaded, right? Maybe you're tired. Maybe you put yourself out there and been rejected so many times that you're scared to do. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. You know, in other words, God, let's tip the scales. Let's just start with a faith based on you and trusting you. Create in me and renew your spirit within me. I promise you this. If the Spirit of God is allowed to do the work in you that he wants to do, you will have a thankful heart. And that heart will bring you to praise and encouragement and worship. So shout to the Lord. Let's come into his presence with singing and thanksgiving. Let's acknowledge that he is God. And thank God we're the sheep of his pasture. He grows a good crop. Oh. So will you bow your heads, close your eyes, let's pray. God, I pray that the truths that you've revealed through your word will not get trapped in your word, but will instill it. Be written on my heart. I need some change in my life and my focus and my perspective. I'm sure, God, I'm not the only one here today, but the only one watching that's in the same state. So, God, I just want to close this service by telling you how much I love you. I'm so thankful for the things that you've done in my life. These years of restoration, the miracles we've seen you do. God, these faces that are sitting in this church today, these people that are watching online, what a privilege to be able to stand again on the other side of sin and to make you known, God, only you can write a story like that. For that, we thank you. So God, raise a church right here of givers, praisers, worshipers, encouragers, servers. From the abundance of your grace, may our lives speak. May our feet go. May our actions show your goodness for the rest of our lives. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.